You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a midweek Wednesday coming your way here in KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Scott Unash from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side joining us here coming up in a moment. Mark Ironside will join us to talk college wrestling here in about 12 minutes. Plenty to look back on Iowa and Nebraska and a look ahead at Big Meet coming up on Friday night as well for the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll talk a little Big Ten basketball from last night and Philip Rivers retiring after a pretty darn good career with both the San Diego with all these teams, San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Indianapolis Colts. And we're gonna talk about Philip Rivers' place in history coming up here in just a moment. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. Phone line, same number. You can reach out to Buttons at 319-366-1600 on this inauguration day here in 2021. And thank you very much for listening in on 1600 AM in Cedar Rapids, the historic 1600 AM, along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and, of course, your smart speaker as well. And we'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview. Don't want to forget about that here tonight as well. Mark can't forget about that. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Well, I hope you guys are as well and our listeners. And looking forward to today's program, always with Mark Ironside. And there's some news out of the Iowa men's and women's basketball programs. And as you mentioned, you outlined almost everything that is on the docket today. Looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, and well, let's start with the basketball as far as just locally, women's and men's basketball as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. And take us down that trail first.
Yeah, indeed. First of all, the Iowa women, I'm not sure when this came down, but not playing against Maryland, I guess during our program yesterday. And Lisa Bluter, Iowa women's head coach, says it was 100% her decision not to travel to the area of the country where the inauguration is being held today. And that game, originally scheduled for tomorrow, has been postponed. And Lisa Bluter said she'd rather err on the side of caution. Originally, I raised my eyebrows and asked why, but I totally understand and support Lisa Bluter's decision. As far as the Iowa men's side, Patrick McCaffrey and Keegan Murray apparently combine their statistics after every game and see how, as a pair, how effective they are. And that's kind of interesting because they are impactful off the bench, and maybe we should do that going down the road and see what Patrick Murray does on a given night.
I bet Patrick Murray could be okay out there.
And Jordan Bohannon versus the parking cops in Iowa City. The saga continues.
Yeah, Jordan's having fun with this, but I think he's not having fun with this. And I tell you what, Jordan, I empathize with you. Went through it as well for 4.5 years. And it hasn't changed, brother, in all the decades since I was down there and others. Not going to change. And like I say, I feel, I empathize, I feel for him and others, but that's kind of the way it is.
Well, it is. I mean, when your meter expires, what's a parking attendant to do, right? Perhaps Jordan's having a lot of fun with this, but I think he's got a little bit under his craw for these. You know, Keith Duncan, the kicker on the Iowa football team, took him on for a little while. I worked in downtown Cedar Rapids for a number of years, and I can tell you they were no different down there.
You betcha.
It seemed like you were 1 minute expired, and boy, they were right there all the time. The best run departments across the country, I think. But, you know, Jordan's not unlike any other student down there. And on the one hand, why don't they just provide, you know, a dozen parking spots for these players? But then the other side would say, well, that's another benefit for student athletes that the math major is not getting. And I get that, too. But you got to realize that under the circumstances that, again, when your meter expires, the ticket comes out.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on that. 319-366-1600. Yes, Joel and Muscatine, we're going to get to that and talk about it before and after we talk with Mark Moore, Mark Ironside as well, coming up here in just a little bit. Big Ten basketball from last night. You had a game that was as suspected it would be with Illinois. You had a blowout with Michigan leveling Maryland. And then you had a little bit of an upset as Purdue. Tell you, Purdue is a very wacky team. And they are dangerous. And they went into Columbus last night and knocked off 15th-rated Ohio State by a bucket at 67-65. I'm not even going to say it's a stunner as far as the Big Ten anymore is concerned. It's just it's kind of the way it goes as far as Big Ten basketball this year.
Yeah, Purdue suddenly in fourth place in the league with a 6-3 Big Ten mark, and it is a quirky team. We've seen Trevion Williams is really the leader of this team. And the Boilermakers have won four straight. Sasha Stefanovic hit a huge basket to propel Purdue to that 67-65 win. But, yeah, I don't know what the correct adjective is for this Purdue team, because Ohio State was playing very well, and I'm sure will continue to do so. But, yeah, it was a great win for Purdue in that game and in Columbus. So we'll see what Purdue can do going forward. But right now, Michigan at 7-1 after a 87-63 win over Maryland. Quite easy. Michigan or Maryland could not repeat what it did against Wisconsin and Illinois on the road. And Iowa half game behind, trying to tie Michigan tomorrow night against Indiana. And you've got Wisconsin at 5-2. Everybody else has three losses or more.
Yeah, and Northwestern with five losses. They have lost their last five. They go to the Kohl Center tonight to take on the Wisconsin Badgers, 7 o'clock on the Big Ten Network this evening. You don't want to say it's a must-win for Wisconsin, but to stay in things and stay within a game of Iowa and Michigan, they need a victory. And remember when Northwestern was undefeated and Northwestern was the cute furry kitten out there? Mm-hmm. And things have changed over the last 3 weeks or so. Unfortunately for Chris Collins' crew, I still think they're not a bad team. They're 67 in the net right now, but they're running into better teams over the last 3 weeks.
That's quite true. At 3-0 and 19th ranked in the country, and then Iowa delivered the Wildcats' first conference loss. And then from then on, it's been tough sledding for Chris Collins' crew. But as we've seen, this is a you know, guys like Bo Bowie, you know, get hot and can give teams problems. But right now, I think it was fool's gold through those first three games.
Yeah, and of course, tonight would have been Iowa State and Texas. That game not played tonight. That game, along with Saturday's Texas Tech game in Lubbock, have been postponed, and we'll see if the Cyclones are going to be able to get all of those games in, all 18 of the Big 12 games, and we'll see, like I mentioned. But Iowa State is not playing, and still nothing, still the game on Monday night, the big Monday game against Oklahoma State is on as of right now. Fingers crossed, I guess, as far as everything in Ames is concerned with that particular ball game, and we'll see if it can be played coming up on Monday evening. And if Iowa State gets back out on the court anytime soon. So, like I said, fingers crossed as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, no question about it. And tomorrow we're going to preview that Iowa-Indiana clash with our friend Kevin Lehman in the Off the Glass segment. Be interesting to see what Kevin has to say about that matchup and Missouri Valley, Big 12, and whatnot.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you out there. And let's go to that because we mentioned we are going to talk a little bit about this before and after we talk with Mark. But Joel Muscatine on the Philip Rivers question. Rivers is a fine quarterback, but Reggie Roby needs to be in the Hall of Fame before Rivers. Reggie Roby, a terrific puncher. Maybe one of the top three of all time as far as the National Football League is concerned. Maybe even as far as college football is concerned, the Waterloo native. The late, great Reggie Roby. But with Philip Rivers announcing his retirement earlier today, not all unexpected. And I know when you and I talked earlier today, we kicked this around a little bit. Where does Philip Rivers go down in the history of great quarterbacks? Is he a great quarterback at all, or is he in the Hall of Very Good? Now, I'll preface this by saying that Philip Rivers is probably, what, 98%, if not higher, on his way to Canton at this point. But Philip Rivers never won a championship. Philip Rivers played in a time of prolific passing offenses. And, like I said, didn't really even sniff a championship. Does that detract from him out there? Love to hear from you, NFL fans. What do you think? 319-366-1600, because he's kind of the first of this generation of quarterbacks and receivers that have thrown up just gargantuan numbers that, you know, that are the 2000s, that are 21st century. It's a different type of the NFL out there right now. And does that get you into the Hall of Fame, putting up these great numbers? Because there are a bunch of people out there that are doing it now. It's the old Art Monk debate, because Art Monk was kind of that same guy as far as a wide receiver is concerned. Was kind of in the Hall of Very Good, maybe great, put up a lot of big numbers. Was he Hall of Fame worthy? That's what people are kind of debating here today.
Yeah, and I think the point you brought up that many have, that Rivers never won a championship, that has to be factored in. That's a team thing more than an individual thing, but you often talk about rings. I mean, is he a better quarterback than Eli Manning, who has two rings? Rivers went to 8 Pro Bowls, and interesting, I didn't recall this, but he's a backup to Drew Brees in San Diego when he first came up. And to me, I ask the question, whether it's baseball or football, was he among the best at his position during his time? And I would argue that he is. But then again, you have to factor in he was 12-12 in the playoffs, made one AFC championship game. I think it was 2007. But, man, look at the numbers. I know longevity plays into it, 17 years in the league, but over the span of his career, completed 65% of his passes, something like 65,000 yards, twice as many touchdowns as he had interceptions. Folks want to remember the interceptions that he had in the big games, and that's just fine. But I look back to the old standard of Joe Namath. Joe Namath would never be in the Hall of Fame had the Jets not won that Super Bowl, because Namath's statistics were not very good. As many know, he had more interceptions then he had touchdowns. And without that Super Bowl, I'm not sure Joe Namath would have reached the Hall of Fame. And since Namath went in, as you mentioned, the game has changed. So much more passing these days. And therefore, perhaps Hall of Fame standards have changed.
Or need to change out there. 319-366-1600. And we've got many people weighing in as far as this this debate is concerned. Again, Joel, at no point did I ever fear a Rivers-led team.
Well, let me ask you, your Chiefs faced them twice a year. Did you fear Rivers and the Chargers?
Nope.
Because of Rivers?
Because I knew that. Now, granted, the Chiefs were pretty awful at times when they took on the Chargers. But when the Chiefs had something, had good teams and were in playoff contention, I did not fear Philip Rivers because more often than not, you knew there would be some critical mistake coming or some interception coming in a very key spot, or he would completely miss an open receiver or something like that. So I would have to say no.
David and Hudson wanting to know what his numbers are compared to Eli. Perhaps we'll look into that. Matt in Fairfax, Rivers is the best to never do anything of significance. You can stack stats all you want, but he's not a winner, period.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Wedge weighing in, I always viewed Rivers as a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Yeah, he put up good numbers, but he always threw costly interceptions at critical times that cost teams greatly. Never really had that really good playoff game either. If I'm completely honest, I'm not sure he goes to Canton on my ballot. Would Rivers be considered a compiler? 6429. Yes, he is a compiler, but was he good enough to get into the Hall of Fame? Compiling.
I'm trying to think of a baseball comparison. Someone who's not in the Hall of Fame, had great statistics, maybe never won a ring, but was among the best at his position during the career. I will come up with someone, but I can't right now.
Right.
Tony Oliva?
Yeah, possibly. 319-366-1600. Think about that. We're going to put that on hold. Going to put us on hold. Dale Murphy. Matt in Fairfax says the great Dale Murphy of the Atlanta Braves. That's not bad.
I like that.
Murphy
like
had that. A couple of very good years. Terrific years for America's team, the Atlanta Braves. I like that, Matt. Very good. Gold star for you today. We're going to talk more about Philip Rivers coming up, but we need to take a break. And get ready for College Wrestling Talk. Mark Ironside joins us coming up next, so stay with us. More to come after this. You're listening to the Gym Class on a Wednesday right here on KGYM.
Listen up, football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the championship round this weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. That's right, you can place a 3-plus same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with the same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of many reasons to use FanDuel. They have an easy-to-use app, it's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up to get started, and use my promo code KUHN at signup. That's promo code KUHN at signup. Must be 21+ and present in Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
324, back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM, as we'll talk more about Philip Rivers and his legacy coming up here in just a little bit. 27-12, comparing baseball players, Mark. How about this, Fred McGriff or Andres Galarraga? I just always liked saying it, Galarraga.
I got a comment on the Twitter feed from Mike comparing Rivers to Dan Fouts.
No. I think Fouts was much better. I think the beard, I think, was much better. I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with that. So, all right. We'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. Going to talk to Mark Ironside right now, and his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, conveniently located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue High V. Very big wrestling fan and very big fan of our guest, Mark Ironside, who joins us on Wednesdays, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency. And how you doing, Mark?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. It's another day.
I tried to hear you on the TV. I don't think I heard you on the TV in the background. I caught a little bit of the broadcast, but it was how different was it on Friday night at Carver Hawkeye Arena? Let's start there.
It was very saddening different. it was hard. I ain't gonna lie. It was really, really hard. I don't know. It was difficult to see. Just because, you know, you get two great programs like that. You know, it was very, very entertaining from not just the wrestling standpoint, but the coaches chomping at each other standpoint. Normally on an 8 o'clock Friday night, you know, match like that, those bars and restaurants, as I was driving there, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock to watch the prelim matches, would just normally be packed with people. And then they, you know, either drive up or walk up, and the place have 13,000-14,000 fans in there, you know, smoke flying when they're coming out to back and black. And, you know, I just feel bad when these guys come kind of nonchalantly walking out of the tunnel, and you know, it's not even probably 100-150 people, maybe not even that much in the arena, and you know, their parents, and that's about it. And it's just not the same, and I just feel so bad for the athletes, and for not just the Iowa guys, but the Nebraska guys too. You know, I mean, you think about if you're an opposing school coming in and wrestling against a super hostile crowd, you know, like, you know, the University of Iowa program. And that's one of the things that I used to look forward to as an athlete, is going in, you know, to the Nittany Lion, you know, den, and or going to, you know, the Oklahoma State Galgaribo Arena, you know, and going into those environments. I loved it, looked forward to it, and couldn't wait to get there. And so it's on both sides, and that's what is just really, really unfortunate. But at the same time, it's kind of like I told Tom in the post-match interview with him, it's just, you know, it was good medicine. It was good medicine for me as Mark Ironside. It was good to see wrestling. It was good to see the guys compete on the mat in person. It was good to see Spencer Lee come out just like he normally does. And just, I would like to say, just light the place on fire. But unfortunately, I mean, it just doesn't, you don't have that roar of the crowd. And then, you know, Austin DeSanto comes out with a Tech fall in the second period over a four-time state champ from here in Iowa. I mean, normally the crowd would just be going nuts, and it's just a really, really memorable night for so many people, and an exciting night, and it's just kind of blah, you know. But again, at the same time, it was good to actually have it, though. It was good for these guys to be able to go out, you know, and show their stuff, even though it's not in the arena. You know, many, many, many people are watching throughout the Big Ten Network, and be able to see it on TV, and give them an opportunity to get out of that wrestling room and go out and perform, you know, in a live setting, and that's awesome.
Mark, many ways we can go with this 31-6 victory over Nebraska. To me, it was the Nelson Brand show. What say you?
Yeah. You know, Nelson really impressed me. He he keeps getting, you know, it's kind of like Tom said the best in his post-match interview with us, is that, you know, he looked phenomenal and he didn't even get to his best wrestling holds. You know, I mean, he only hit like one or two offensive attacks. I mean, the rest are just pure horsepower, explosiveness, and the guy just never seems to amaze me how explosive he is for a big, big kid, and how quick he is as well. And you know, judging by the match that I saw against, you know, Assad in the Hawkeye Wrestling Club Showdown that first weekend in November, and then what I saw last night, I would have to say now that that's Nelson Brands' position. You know, that's his weight class. That's his. He's the man for the job there now, because he looked really, really good. He looked solid, and that was a darn good wrestler. You know, and Ben's that he was wrestling as well too. So it wasn't like he was just, you know, some slouch with a, you know, just a fresh or soft with a 500 record maybe or anything. That was Taylor Venz, who's a tough All-American.
First two matches, as Mark alluded to, Spencer Lee came out, and you could tell that Spencer Lee had 10 months of aggression built up. And he spent all of, 81 seconds out there. Didn't get to that second period, so Tom can yell a little bit more. And but he pinned a really good guy. And then to, maybe even more impressive was DeSanto coming out and just absolutely dismantling a four-timer from Underwood, Iowa. Alex Thompson's a good wrestler, and DeSanto just absolutely blew his doors off.
He destroyed him. And I personally really thought that that was going to be a much closer match than what it was. I just, you know, with Alex Thompson, you know, he's, like you said, he's a really good wrestler, four-time state champ out of the, you know, the state of Iowa here, and up a weight class where he's not. Last year, I think he struggled some being down a weight class at 125. He just didn't have the power. He didn't have the strength. He kind of fizzled out throughout his matches, just didn't have that energy he needed off those one-hour weigh-ins. But, you know, being up at 133, not having to cut as much weight, feeling good, strong, powerful, I just thought that was going to be maybe a major decision, you know, but possibly even just a regular decision there. And I did not expect a Tech fall and a butt whooping like that, especially in the second period. And I tell you what, DeSanto, he just followed suit right with Spencer Lee. He just went out there. He took care of business. He hit all kinds of different holds, a lot of snaps, a lot of go behind shots to both sides. And Alex Thompson just, I don't know, he just didn't look good. He looked, by, you know, the end of the first period, going to the second period, he was exhausted. He could barely stand up. And I mean, Austin DeSanto just made him look silly. And makes you, I mean, I know that Iowa caught a lot of flack for not recruiting a guy like Alex Thompson as more than what we did. And we lost a guy to Nebraska and blah, blah, blah. But I think that just goes to show we might have made the right choice there. We have a right guy. We have the right guy in the country in our lineup right now, for sure.
Mark, for many, it was a first look at Jaden Ironman in an Iowa singlet at 141. And you mentioned before that he's one of those guys that really feeds off the crowd, and the crowd feeds off him. And without that energy, it was kind of a choppy outing against Chad Redd, but he did get an 8-4 win. Your observations of him?
Well, I think that he came out and he started slow. There's no doubt. Chad Redd from Nebraska, great wrestler. He's ranked like seventh, but I think that's a pretty low ranking, seventh for him. He's a lot better and a higher, should be ranked higher than what that is. But, you know, he came out right away against Ironman and just blew him right off of his feet, and hit a great shot at him, got him deep two more times, but Ironman was able to luckily fight him off. But he just wasn't moving his feet right out of the gate that well, and he's kind of staying flat-footed. And, you know, it could have been a little bit of nerves, even though there's no fans out there, first time in a Hawkeye singlet going out on the mat or whatever. But, you know, after he got behind a little bit and the guy started getting to him, I think he's, you know, started kind of refocusing and, you know, realized that he's in a wrestling match here and he's got to wrestle. And he did good after that. I think the difference was that Ironman was so much stronger and bigger and more powerful than Redd. And he locked him up and just horsed him in the cradle when Redd was in on a shot on him and turned him over for 6 points. And 6 points, that was a big, big 6 points. And from there, I think Redd kind of threw the towel a little bit and got exhausted. And, And, you know, Ironman started kind of, you know, feeling it a little bit more and getting a little bit more excited. But I agree with you, Mark, in the fact that I think if it's there's a crowd there, Carver Hawk Arena, you know, 13,000 people there, I think Ironman comes out a little bit more ready to go there. And probably even scores, you know, another takedown or two in that match. So, but I think, like he said too, you know, that's the first one, start a little slow. Things are going to get better from here, and I believe that.
Mark Ironside joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM on a Wednesday edition. And now, obviously, Tom always says that nothing is perfect, and always striving for that. Now, things weren't perfect on Friday night. You know, Cassiope won, didn't look perfectly. I mean, it's hard to nitpick at things, but I think he probably could have been better. You said he kind of could have been better. Probably the same thing with Marinelli too. Are those the two things that, that kind of jumped out at you a little bit?
I think, yes and no. I think that you're dead on with Cassiope. I mean, Cassiope, too easy, two-point takedown first period, wrote him out. He's at 2-0, rides him out the third period, the second period, wrote him out the entire period, didn't turn him at all, which is fine. That's a great ride. And then the third period, he just stopped wrestling. And he never hit it. He never got back to his offensive holds. He never got back to his attacks. You know, he got out off the bottom right away, one-point escape, 3-0, and then he wins 4-0 with his riding time point. But he allowed his opponent to get in on him a couple of times, deep in on his legs, and he's making me a little bit nervous, guy getting in and, you know, getting your knee kind of yanked on in the wrong direction and possibly getting hurt. And he shut down in that third period. And I thought for sure, you know, he's up basically 4-0 when he gets up to his feet. He get three takedowns in there, or two takedowns or a takedown and a turn. We're looking for major decision. And it just looked like once he got up to his feet in the third period, he just kind of coasted for that easy victory that he already had kind of under his belt there. And you just don't like to see that. I mean, that's not going to make you better as a wrestler for the future if you just, you know, you waste away those 2 minutes, you don't really finish out the match and wrestling hard there. Marinelli, that's a little bit different. Marinelli's guy, that's a tough kid to wrestle. Was it Ross, I think?
Yeah, Rob.
Last name? Rob. Yeah, Rob. That guy played the game. He's a heck of an athlete, that Rob is. He's strong. He's got great balance. He's got good mat awareness, and he used every inch of that mat and stayed away from Marinelli. And he's just a really hard guy to try and score points on. And he played the game really well. Marinelli was a little bit frustrated. I think Marinelli was frustrated with Rob kind of just being defensive and wrestling the way he wrestled. I think Marinelli was frustrated with himself and the fact that he didn't get a major decision and he didn't figure out Rob a little bit, you know, just too late in the match. Marinelli looked extremely fresh. And we know when the match is over and just wishes he had more time on the clock. But, you know, I don't fault Marinelli from a lack of effort, really. Just needing to try and figure out different ways to attack and not let a guy like that kind of play the game, play the edge, and kind of circle out and away from you and so forth. So, Marinelli, that kid's good. He's decent. I mean, that's the type of guy that guy, you know, could go a close match with a guy like Marinelli, or, you know, he could lose to a guy that's, you know, 500 just because that's how he wrestles all of his matches. And, you know, Marinelli, he's not happy about it. Caleb Young put 17 points on the scoreboard, though, so that was super good for Caleb Young.
Yeah.
At 157 pounds for us. And that Rob actually beat Caleb Young at the Big Tens last year, too. So he's a pretty solid wrestler. And then what about Patrick Kennedy bringing him out of redshirt? Not out of redshirt, I'm not saying that, but bringing him out instead of Michael Kemmer. The deal there is Michael Kemmer sounds like he had a very, very, very minor tweak on his body, and he could have gone for sure. He was dressed, ready to go, weighed in, but they gave the nod to Patrick Kennedy. Kemmer is going to wrestle this weekend, but it's good that this year they're allowing these guys and these athletes to basically have an extra year. Like, this year does not count towards the eligibility, so it's like a relief year is what they call it. So Patrick Kennedy, by wrestling him the other night, he doesn't lose his eligibility of a year. He doesn't have to take a red shirt this year or anything, so he can go out and he can wrestle matches. And you're seeing a lot of teams do that, and you're seeing a lot of teams be able to have a lot of flexibility in their lineups. So, you know, if a guy would go down with an injury or a COVID or whatever, you can bring somebody else out, like maybe a true freshman, and you're not going to burn a year of a redshirt year or anything like that. So it's an opportunity for these guys that wouldn't normally be able to get matches, get some mat time. And Kennedy did a great job. He wrestled really, really well against Labriola, probably the toughest guy on Nebraska's team. He was in deep on him three different times, and he ended up kind of coming shorter into the stick and on those scrambles and those flurries. And that's how you learn and improve, but at least he's given himself a chance. And I really like how he competed, and not like how a guy like Jacob Warner at 197 competed, where it was 1-1 going in third period, just like last year against Schultz, and then, you know, ends up getting taken down and loses when he didn't hit any offensive holds the entire time. So how do you expect yourself? How do you expect to win? And that's something Jacob Warner has to overcome, and he's got to get past. I mean, he's a junior now, you know. I mean, he needs to really. He's an upperclassman now. I mean, he needs to start wrestling like it. It's not none of this kind of wait and see what happens in the third period and then try to win. You wrestle for the first whistle to the last. You try to put as many points on the scoreboard as you can.
Next up is a trip to Minnesota. Mark, as you know, last year was a 35-6 Iowa victory. Just looking through the lineups, or tentative lineups anyway, it appears maybe 157 and heavyweight are the two feature matches.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Obviously, heavyweight's a big one. Gable Stevenson pretty much just toyed with Tony Cassiope last year and just kind of had his way with them and kind of just laughed out there with, you know, on the mat. Just was like, it's no big deal. So, you know, Tony Cassiope, he has nowhere to go but up, and he's got something to prove now and see how he's done in the off season. And this, you'll never see a better test than this against a guy like Gable Stevenson, who's ranked number one and possibly could have been a national champ last year. And so we're going to really see if he's closed the gap at all. It'll be a really good opportunity for him, like I said, and I sure hope he can. I hope he can at least stay in there and compete somewhat and see what kind of off season that he had and see how close he is. And then 157, like you mentioned, you know, Caleb Young, he's going to be taking on Brayton Lee, who's ranked, you know, sixth. So that's going to, and we're ranked seventh. It kind of depends on what we're basically one ranking apart. That's going to be a good match, and that's a Big Ten seeding match right there. So be a good opportunity for Caleb Young coming off of scoring 17 points in the Nebraska match and going out and, you know, not just looking to win by one or two, but I'd be really impressed and happy if we could see him win by, you know, major decision or, you know, 6 or 7 points and just, you know, make it a dominating performance over someone that's supposed to be pretty close to him. Because you got to remember, Caleb Young was ranked number one in the country last year at one point in time.
Yeah.
So I don't really go off of this 6th, 7th, 8th ranking here. He's got to work his way up. He's got to get back up there. But that's how good he can be. And that's why I just don't look to this to be just, it shouldn't be that close of a match. You know, 1 point or 2 points. I think it should be a very dominating, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 point victory.
Before we leave Nebraska, did you see the extra matches? There were 6 of them prior to the main event between the Huskers and the Hawkeyes. And did you get a chance to see those youngsters perform?
I did. I believe we only won one of them. I think out of 6 matches, it was not good for the Hawkeyes. We lost I think 4 of them in the last probably 30 seconds of the match. And it's not how, you know Iowa wants to ever lose. You never want to lose, but especially losing in the last 30 seconds or so. You know, just a lot of 1 point matches that we either lost at the end or couldn't hold on to and so forth, but did not really wrestle well for our backups there. I think the only guy that won was, I believe, Miles Wilson.
Yep.
Was the only winner that we had. So, the rest of the guys just didn't perform very well. And I was glad that after that, I was talking to my radio partner, Stephen Grace. And I go, hopefully that's not, you know, any kind of direction that what we're going to see of what's to come here for the starters and the varsity and the main feature of the meet tonight of what we just saw there. And it wasn't. It was completely opposite. Our starters came out and they kicked some tail. And then, man, did they look good the other night for being the first meet of the year in the middle of January. It looked like they've been wrestling all season long. They looked great. Nebraska's the one that looked tired. They looked like they just weren't ready. They looked like they didn't have their weight under control. They got tired. They played the edge. They played the game. And, you know, it just, we look good for the most part.
to expand on that, who were some of the other wrestlers who saw action in those preliminaries?
I can't remember all of them. I know Carter Happel wrestled. He did not win. And
Zach Axmere was out there.
Oh yeah, Axmere. Yeah, he wrestled hard though. He fought hard. Axmere did. He actually, you know, came out. He looked good. He just, you know, he just got beat in a really close match. But you know, he wrestled hard. And that's the first time I really got a chance to see him wrestle since he's been in the room, other than the practice room, because I don't ever get a chance to go to practice to the like open tournaments and stuff like that. But he looked pretty good. And I can't remember all the other matches, though.
Let's see. Costello wrestled a heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, heavyweight. Yeah, I wasn't impressed with Costello. He's wrestled, you know, in our varsity lineup, you know, a few times. He was a starter a few times. And I thought that he didn't perform the way I thought that he would perform, or the way he's performed in the past. He just didn't get offensive as like normally he would. He didn't lower his level. He didn't get hit the low level attacks like he can. He just, I don't know. He wasn't as aggressive and didn't look as sharp as what he normally has in the past that I've seen him. So I was not overly impressed with that, with Costello.
All right. Before we let you go, we mentioned Iowa, Minnesota. Arizona State had to pull out of that match with Iowa State and UNI in Missouri on Sunday. Missouri came in and soundly beat both Iowa State and UNI in Ames on Sunday. And Missouri's top, nine rated, I think, or something like that. They've got some good individuals down there for the Tigers.
Well, we talked a little bit about it last week, whereas Iowa State and UNI just haven't really wrestled anybody yet, and they just don't have a super, super tough schedule, and that's not a knock on them, but just, you know, they don't have that conference. Like, they're not in that Big Ten conference. But this was a let's see where we're at here against a really good Missouri team. And I think Iowa State and UNI both walked away from there shaking their heads a little bit, just kind of like, well, let's get back to the room and get after it. We got stuff to do here. We got work to do. And Iowa State lost some close matches. I mean, what was it, like 31-7 or something like that, I think. But it wasn't like it was that wide of a gap, but it could have easily been like, you know, 20-12 or something like that, you know. It didn't have to be quite that bad. They lost some close matches along the way that kind of maybe could have gone either way. UNI, they got whooped up on pretty good. And They definitely have some work to do, but they're a young team too. UNI is really, really young. Last year, that was really unfortunate for Doug Schwab and company up there, in that they had one of the best teams that they have had, probably the best team he's had since he's been there at UNI. And unfortunately, they just weren't able to finish out the season and kind of see how they did at nationals. I think they had a top 10 team last year, and just unfortunately, because of the pandemic, they weren't able to go to prove themselves and have a good year. And all those seniors had to graduate. And this year they're just, you know, pretty young and got a lot of growing to do, and both, you know, like on the mat and physicality and so forth. So we'll see what happens. But that was a good test for both schools, and it was a good meet for them. It was too bad Arizona State had to pull out, because that would have been another good matchup for them.
Hey, Mark, real quick, it's exactly a month until the Arctic Plunge, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club fundraiser, and you want to give a plug there?
Yeah, it's that time of year again, and it's hard this year. The Hawkeye Wrestling Club has really struggled, as a lot of businesses and nonprofits and so forth, and because a lot of the events that they normally have to raise money for their club, you know, with the golf outings and just different things, banquets and stuff that they just haven't been able to have and raise the funds that they wanted to. So this is something that we can continue to do, the Arctic Plunge, where we can get outside, we can, you know, social distance and semi-stay away from people. And if we get sick, it's probably not going to be from the pandemic. It might have something to do with being out there with basically little to nothing on and jumping in a freezing cold pond. and not really from the COVID. So, but it should be fun, you know. If anybody's interested in pledging and so forth, it's one thing I literally just started working on yesterday with some of the pledges and trying to work my way up there again this year and trying to raise as much money for the Hawkett Wrestling Club as we can, because we've got a lot of guys who are going to be graduating from the University of Iowa the next couple of years that are Olympic team contenders, and we're going to need a lot of money to be able to fund them and their stipends and be able to pay for their travel expenses to wrestle in tournaments overseas. And we can talk about that more on another show next week, but that is coming up. And if anybody's got any good costume ideas, please let me know.
And we've got the Girls State Wrestling Tournament coming up this weekend.
Yes, I'm glad that you mentioned that. They're having a they're selling a lot of tickets. They're doing great with that right now. I will be there Saturday night for the finals and calling that action through track wrestling. So, but yeah, that starts on Friday. Friday at 1:30, and then 1:30 to 9 o'clock is a straight through session at the Extreme Arena down there in Iowa City, and then also Saturday 10 to 2, and then the finals are 4 to 6. So if anybody wants to go, you can just show up at the door, and I don't know what the cost is to get in, but they're looking for over 1,000 people there, hopefully, and obviously masks are required. And the Extreme Arena is a beautiful arena. If you haven't had a chance to go in there yet and see that arena, Josh Schamberger and Iowa City Aquatic Adventure Bureau have done a great job with that, and looking forward to holding so many great events in that arena. And this girls' state wrestling tournament, first year that they'll be able to have that there. It's been up at Waverly Shorrock High School the last couple of years, and that's going to be the home of the state girls' wrestling tournament probably for, I would assume, for quite a while, and it's a perfect venue for it, too.
Yeah. Girls get after it, man. There's some good wrestlers there, so you'll have fun.
Yeah, there's like 500 girls that are registered to be in it, which is up from like 350 last year. So, you know, girls wrestling, it's nice that the girls have girls to wrestle now, and you don't have that, you know, controversy between, you know, girls wrestling boys and so forth and whatever, you know. You're starting to see a lot more high schools have girls wrestling, and like 500 girls will be participating in that tournament this year, which is up from, like I said, 350 last year. So it's gonna keep growing and growing every year. You're gonna see it in college here really soon.
Sides?
I guarantee you.
No Ironsides?
Huh?
No Ironsides?
No, my daughters are strictly volleyball and softball, and they are now entering the workforce. And that's about the extent of it. And they like to get out and enjoy outdoors and some hunting, but no wrestling in their blood. But I will say that they know quite a bit, and we've had plenty of lessons in the front and in the living room as well. So.
Nothing has gotten broken yet, though, like with the Ironside boys.
No, the girls aren't like that.
Okay,
but, except for I almost broke my daughter's head the other day, and we hit her in her arm throw, and she didn't land right. And that's part of it. You got to learn how to land when you're getting thrown too, so you got to learn how to tuck your head. You can't just leave your head sticking out there, so that's what she learned the hard way.
All right. Have fun, Mark. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right, Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM at 3:52. Learn to land right. Don't, not the problem of the thrower. It was the problem of the throwee.
He should be in the batting cage with those girls instead of wrestling in the front row. Come on.
We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Philip Rivers and his career and give you a Bowling Night in America preview when we return after this on KGYM.
Getting the most for your money can help you relax. With power checking from Midwest One Bank, you may earn higher interest and ATM fee refunds by simply receiving electronic statements, making at least 15 debit card purchases that post and clear, and making at least one direct deposit, automatic debit from a third party, or bill pay transaction post and clear each qualification cycle. See MidwestOne.bank for details. Enjoy simply better banking from Midwest One Bank. Member FDIC.
Play your game with the First Bet risk-free, up to $500, only at Elite Sportsbook. Just sign up for a new Elite Sportsbook account and make your first bet online. If it is graded as a loss, we will match it with a free bet up to $500. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for a list of casino locations and sign up today. You will always be in the game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Oh, and it is Wednesday, and it is Bowling Night in America, and with the preview, and it's brought to you by May City Bowl, our official sponsor and host of Bowling Night in America on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They have open bowling time. Just give them a call out there and do a great job with everything as far as fighting COVID-19 is concerned. And we're in ninth. We're looking to move up. It's going to be a tough go tonight, Mark.
Well, it was a terrific week last week when we got almost all 30 points, but going to be a much difficult go tonight against Durline Scale. Durline currently stands second in the league and has won the championship multiple times, and always a tough out, but I know you'll captain the squad to get as many as we can tonight. So we'll give you updates on the results tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. And, we'll see how it plays out. Never say never. Never say never. Could end up as high as maybe seventh if things go well tonight. So we'll see.
We'll cross our fingers. And if you have any questions about open bowling or leagues or the pro shop, give May City Bowl a call, especially during these times, ahead of time at 362-0136. Or you can always visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right. Somebody asked earlier about Eli Manning versus Philip Rivers as far as passing is concerned. Eli Manning, keep in mind, Eli Manning, Super Bowl champion, by the way.
Two times.
Yes. Passed 60% completion percentage, threw for 57,000 yards, 366 touchdowns, 244 interceptions, however. And as you mentioned, the couple of Super Bowls. For Philip Rivers, and looking at him as far as his career is concerned, as soon as I find it here, there we go, 68%. No, that's this year. Never mind. Hold on. 65% completion percentage for 63,000 yards, along with... where are the touchdowns? 421 touchdowns and 209 interceptions. So what do you think about that, doing the comparison?
Well, it just depends on how you feel about Super Bowl championships, in my mind. And sometimes it can be weighted too heavily, sometimes not enough. And at some point, the decision is going to have to be made on Philip Rivers. And I guess for today, let's just celebrate a very nice 17-year career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just it makes me think how the quarterbacks of the late 70s through the 80s and into the early 90s would do in this particular era of pass happy, pass interference, don't touch my receiver football.
Yeah, and earlier we asked for comparisons, maybe do a baseball player who's not in the Hall of Fame, had a great career and whatnot. 27-12, mentioning Fred McGriff and Andre Scalarraga.
Galarraga.
Matt in Fairfax, as we mentioned, throughout Dale Murphy. So, yeah.
I think I even go back to like maybe a guy like the former Baltimore Colt quarterback, Burt Jones, who had some very good years when the Colts were outstanding. He could be a gunslinger now. Steve Bartkowski of the Atlanta Falcons, a former number one draft choice.
Jeff George.
Think the numbers Jeff George could put up right now in this league. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure Philip Rivers will make his way to Canton and... But it's a very interesting debate. Very interesting debate out there. And thank you very much for taking us through it. We do appreciate it here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us, and we will preview Iowa and Indiana basketball and more. That's coming up on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Talk to you then, Mark.
Talk to you then, everyone.
Todd and Alex are next.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited